Today on Straight Talk Africa, the challenges and opportunities in the African airline industry. That discussion is coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Sheka Sali, and today we are discussing the future of Africa's aviation industry. Air transport in Africa is critical in facilitating business, international trade, and tourism. Across the continent, several countries are racing to relaunch their defunct national carriers, even though these airlines were not profitable and survived on government financial support to stay solvent. My colleague Paul Ndiho has more on the story.
The International Air Transport Association says Ethiopian Airlines is arguably Africa's most successful airline. It leads the continent's air carriers in revenues, number of aircraft, routes operated in Africa, and profitability. Ethiopian Airlines has the goal to become Africa's largest airline by 2025. Industry analysts say the growth of Ethiopian Airlines is outpacing its regional competitors. To become Africa's largest airline with a fleet of over 100 planes, the carrier services dozens of destinations in Africa, Asia, South America, and the United States.
Airlines are now growing 5 to 6%, maximum 10% in any part of the world, but we are growing 20% plus. So this is impressive by any standard in the industry.
Despite the success of Ethiopian Airlines, other regional carriers have not been as successful. The International Air and Transport Association says the aviation industry overall is expected to make significant profits in 2019, but African airlines are projected to continue losing money. In 2017, Kenya Airways lost money despite cutting its losses by 51% to $97 million compared to $250 million posted the previous year. Last October, Kenya Airways announced its first ever direct non-stop flight from Nairobi to New York. The carrier operates the route using the Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner aircraft. The transatlantic flight is part of an effort to revive the airline's fortunes after it nearly collapsed, leading to a $2 billion restructuring in November that included a government bailout which reduced the stake of Air France and KLM in the African carrier.
This is going to increase 2019 revenues by roughly 10% of what we have today.
South African Airways, another intercontinental national carrier, has also not been profitable. The airline has lost billions of dollars in the last 7 years, recording a loss of $153 million in 2017. Critics say without a government bailout, the airline is unlikely to survive. However, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is pledging to fully revive the troubled national carrier. Uganda is trying to revive and relaunch Uganda Airlines nearly 2 decades after the national carrier collapsed.
Commercial operations will start beginning of July this year, and we will start with a few routes.
Air Tanzania bounced back, announcing the purchase of a Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner package valued at $224 million. It's slated to be the flagship aircraft for Air Tanzania fleet, the wings of Kilimanjaro. Later this month, Air Tanzania's Boeing 787-8 will launch 4 weekly flights between Dar es Salaam and Johannesburg. And in July 2019, another additional flight between Dar es Salaam and Mumbai. Rwanda Air, the state-owned flagship carrier of Rwanda, operates domestic and international flights across Africa, Europe, the Middle East, and Asia from its headquarters at Kigali International Airport. But some critics say Rwanda Air may be too optimistic for its financial expectations and is operating on losses. Paul Ndiho, VOA News.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Now, joining us here in our VOA studio are three distinguished guests. Negusu Wolku, Regional Director of Sales and Services in the United States for Ethiopian Airlines. Daria Erimalage, General Manager of Egypt Air Airlines. And Abdul Rashid Abubakari, publisher of Diaspora Today magazine. I have to say, Negusi, Daria, and Abdul, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome. Well, you know, I was doing a bit of research and I discovered that Ethiopian Airlines has the distinction of being the champion of African Airlines. How were you able to do that? You basically launched your first airline in 1945. How did you become the champions of the African skies?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you really for having us once again. I would say there are many success factors for Ethiopian Airlines profitability and success, one of which is a strong corporate governance. The support from Ethiopian government is phenomenal. Then the dedication, the passion of Ethiopian employees is one of the success factors. And also, we really believe in Africa. We have worked so much in Africa, bringing Africa together, linking Africa to the rest of the world. So in all 7 decades of our history, you know, we have, our taglines have been always consistent, like connect, bringing Africa together, Africa's link to the world, and now the new spirit of Africa. I would say these three are the major factors for the success of Ethiopian Airlines.
You know, I was talking to someone who said that as far as he is concerned, Ethiopia as a nation has never, in his words, not mine, has never experienced democracy. But that when it comes to Ethiopian Airlines, we are talking about democracy here. Would you agree with that person, that individual?
Totally, I agree. You know, it's 100% owned by Ethiopian government, but for, in all its history, we have enjoyed a full management autonomy from the government. We were getting nothing but support after support from the government. So we had the free management autonomy, which is really helping our performance.
It is very interesting that when the Civil War was at the peak, you continued to do your business as usual. You relocated your operational headquarters to Nairobi.
Yes, we did. We did. That was really one of the challenging times of Ethiopian Airlines. But with, again, the support of the government and with the dedication of the management and the employees, you know, one thing which I have to mention here is that Ethiopian Airlines, for me and for the 16,000 employees, is not just a company that gives us paycheck. It's a mission. We just give what is required from all of us. So, yeah, that's why we are succeeding.
And operates like a very good African family.
That is true.
That's interesting.
True. Thank you.
What about you, Daria? Yeah. Tell us about the interesting story of Egypt Air. The longest, I think, airline on the African continent.
Yes.
Founded 1932, the last time I checked.
Yes. We Egypt Air was established in 1932. Actually, its name was Misri Air at that time.
Misri
Air.
As a kid, in fact, in Kabale, southwestern Uganda, in primary school, we used to refer to Egypt as Misri.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was founded in 1932, and the name was Misri Air that at that time, and then it was the first African airline in Africa and Middle East at that time, and the seventh carrier all over the world.
All over the world.
So like the pyramids.
Like the pyramids.
Seven wonders of the world, yes.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So we then joined Syrian Airlines with an airline called United Arab Airlines in 1971, in 1960, and then split it again in 1971 to be Egypt Air, the current Egypt Air. In 2002, there were a presidential decree to make Egypt Air a holding company with 9 subsidiaries. And of course, it's 100% owned by the government too, like Ethiopian Airlines exactly. And all what we have is support, but it's privately owned, and we are a holding company responsible of its profits and income and taxes and everything.
It is very interesting that the airline was founded during the time when you had the fellows, because of course the first time you have president is in the 1950s.
Yes.
Following the coup of the great Colonel, Gamal.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you've been in business since 1932.
Yeah.
What would you say that has been the single most important decision by Egypt Air since that time?
Actually, we had many decisions. For example, we started using aircrafts, the first airline to start using French aircrafts and many kind of aircrafts we were the first to get since 1960s and very early. So we were one of the airlines that we are well established since very long time ago. We are improving and we are growing steadily, and we are considered a gateway to Africa too. And actually, we just launched a new direct flights from Washington DC to Cairo, direct flights. So it is a gateway for Africa too. Of course, besides Ethiopian Airlines, they are there too, but through Cairo. I mean, our flight is to Cairo.
As a matter of fact, I have compliments for you from some of my colleagues who happen to come from Egypt, because they say for the first time they do have a direct service from Washington to Cairo.
Yes, with the Dreamliner, the new Dreamliner, yes.
The Dreamliner.
Yes, it's a very good aircraft.
Very good aircraft.
Yeah.
That's not the same kind of aircraft that recently had an accident in Addis Ababa?
No, that's the 787 is like a different aircraft. Yeah.
It's a different aircraft altogether.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So any particular reason, for example, why you were the pioneer African airline? And as we talk now, the champion happens to be Ethiopia, who also happens to be, by the way, your geographical neighbor.
Yes. They are partners. They are with us in Star Alliance. And, of course, Egypt have a long, long, long history and a steady one. And we are exploring many markets. We have direct flights to, especially we are speaking here about Africa. We go to 29 countries in Africa from Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
And also with coaches, with our partners to many destinations in Africa. And we just launched a new route to Kigali in April,
mm-hmm.
and we are going to resume our operation to Abidjan. And there is a lot, three or four destinations are going to open in Africa too in the near future from Cairo.
So you can actually fly from Cairo direct to Kigali, the Rwandan capital?
Yes.
What about Entebbe?
We go to Entebbe.
Direct?
Yes.
Very interesting. Yeah. Looks like it would make sense for me next time, perhaps.
Yes, through Cairo, Washington, Cairo, and TV. Yes, it would be perfect.
Washington, Cairo,
and
Cairo, and TV.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Abdul, well, first of all, frankly, I have to extend my compliments to you for having been behind essentially this program, really. Thank you very, very much for making it possible.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dr. Shaka Sol. Also, thank you for having me on one of the most interesting show on the continent of Africa, Straight Talk Africa. Thank you for having me here today.
profoundly honored for your compliments and support.
Thank you.
Now, I know that you have been following the African airlines. How good is the African aviation industry?
It's interesting, and I think government need to governments in Africa need to see they need to treat aviation industry as a strategic asset and not as an instrument for foreign policy.
What do you mean as an instrument for foreign policy? You mean just as carriers for national flags?
Not. The governments in Africa need to open their skies for connectivity and accept liberalization in order for the industry to grow. It is interesting what Dalia just mentioned, that the Egypt Airline launched a new direct flight from Washington to
Cairo.
For example, when you're traveling from London to Athens, it's a 3.5-hour journey.
Right.
Which is cheaper and very efficient.
Right.
As an European, you don't need any visa to travel from London to Athens. Now, let's come to African scenario. When you're traveling from Algeria to Cameroon, for example, the minimum hours it will take you will be around 20 hours.
20 hours?
Yeah.
To fly from Algeria to Cairo.
Why?
Because of protectionism. Because in 1988, the Yamoussoukro Declaration was launched.
Now, you're talking about Yamoussoukro. Those who know about Yamoussoukro know, of course, that it is the capital of the Ivory Coast.
Yes.
Yamoussoukro.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not Abidjan, but Yamoussoukro.
Yes.
So what exactly does that declaration call for?
So in 1988, the declaration called for open skies
within the African
region. Within the African, within the region.
When did that happen?
In 1988. That was the first time.
And this is 2019.
And again, in 1999, the Yamoussoukro decision was taken by the governments in Africa.
Yes.
African head of states decide to work together and open their skies to each other in order to do more air transport business. In 2018, interestingly, the African Union launched the Single African Air Transport Market,
yes.
Which will boost the industry, the aviation industry, and connect the skies across the continent. And this is very significant because in Costa Rica, for example, 20 years ago, the government of Costa Rica opened its skies and adopted liberalization of the aviation industry. And interestingly, tourists to the country, increased 400%.
Very interesting.
400%. So, and it helps the economy, people do business very freely, and it helps the economy.
So why can't the African Union do something concrete
actually,
about this?
Like
actually,
to,
they are doing.
Just to add some points onto it, as mentioned earlier, we have been really working so much in Africa.
Yes.
So this SATAM initiative has become African Union's flagship project now.
Right, right.
Which basically means requesting African airlines to open airspace to avoid any bilateral agreements between carriers so mm-hmm. that any African carrier can fly from any point to Africa
right.
to another point of Africa.
But aren't those decisions supposed to be taken by the respective African heads of state?
Definitely, that is African Union's initiative, working with its members, African states, governments. So the study by IATA shows that clearly, if Africa opens its market, it will help its GDP,
uh-huh.
it will create jobs.
Create jobs.
What more Africa needs, you know?
Really?
If really they can open this air market,
mm-hmm.
take for example, Europe has a single air market.
Right.
Why not Africa?
Why not Africa?
Why not Africa? It's because African governments should see aviation actually as a necessity, not as a luxury. If you really see the profitability of African airlines,
mm.
many are suffering because of lack of support from the government. Aviation gets more tax than alcohol yeah. beverage
yeah.
in Africa. Can you imagine this?
Very interesting. Now, Dalia,
all this really affect profitability of airlines.
There is this gentleman who happens to be a fan of Straight Talk Africa. He's called Namukolo Munyamwa. He does not tell us which country he is from. But his question, in fact, is in the same line. It says, why is flying so exorbitantly priced in Africa, unlike in Europe?
Actually, I want to add first to Mr. Woko about the chair. You know that Egypt is the chair of the African Union for 2019.
Yes.
And of course, our president is totally focusing on establishing the market in Africa generally, in all the African countries, not only in aviation. So this, I'm sure that this year will make a difference for the whole African markets and especially our Minister of Aviation. We are a part of the open market for Africa. So there are bilateral agreements already between all African countries.
Mm.
And Yamoussoukro, most of the African countries are part of Yamoussoukro decision. But not all of them abide to it. Not all of them believe in the open market between African countries, but I'm sure that this year will make a difference and there will be a cooperation between African countries and African carriers to make the African market easier to reach with good competitive prices, because if we are partners together, we can give a competitive prices to the passenger to travel in less time and with less price.
Very interesting.
The problem is that there is no connectivity and there is no flights to every point in Africa with frequent destination, frequent flights that makes it difficult for the passenger to go from wherever in the world to his native country in Africa directly or in a shorter duration period of travel. So this has to be tackled.
That is very interesting because I remember many, many years ago, I had the opportunity to interview a president from Botswana. His name was Festus Mohae. I was surprised that Festus Mohae came to the United States via commercial airline. And I said, how could you possibly do that? Because African heads of states, even if they cannot balance their budgets, they have, they are basically presidential jets.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Shaka, when I'm going to Europe or I am going to the United States like I did this time around or Canada, I am very comfortable flying commercial airline because connectivity is very easy.
Yeah.
But when I'm in Africa, the mother continent, there is a connectivity problem.
Yes.
And so I have a very small plane that I use to fly from one place to another.
This is true.
So
this
it looks true. Like that should in fact have been solved yesterday.
Yeah.
That is true.
Very interesting. There is a gentleman from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Antene D. Iyechare. He asks, how is the realization strategic partnership among African airlines and the establishment of a single Pan-African Airways going?
Yeah. That's basically the single African air travel market issue.
Market.
Yes.
It's not as such, you know, having one airlines for Africa.
Right.
But it's about opening the African airspace to so that it enhances socio-economic integration of the continent, which is lacking now.
Mm.
Imagine DRC is a big country in Africa.
Correct.
Nigeria is also another.
It is a
but
very big country.
There is no direct flight between these giants in Africa.
With no adequate road communication systems.
Definitely.
With no railway communication system.
Aviation is indispensable for
Precisely.
Africa. But, you know, they are not getting. Carriers like Ethiopian and others are really serving, connecting Africa together through their hubs. But any African country should be able to fly from any point in Africa to another point in Africa, like this is happening elsewhere. It's happening in Europe, so we should do it.
But, Ngozi, I remember in the 1960s, 1970s, there were very many African carriers.
That is true.
Almost every country
had one.
Had one.
Exactly.
And suddenly, they basically collapsed. And yet, Ethiopian Airlines has succeeded. What is the secret behind that, really?
Once again, aviation is a very sensitive industry, very competitive industry. The profit margin is so low in airlines market, so you should have a very strong corporate governance with a very sound strategy to help revenue and manage cost. And of course, you should get support from government in various forms, hiring professionals, not politicians. I don't see this happening in many African places. Few really get the support they need from the government. And, you know, dedication of employees, strategy, these are the key factors for the success of Ethiopian Airlines. And many airlines failed because of lack of, I would say, governance issue, lack of support. These are really success factors if they are handled well, and otherwise it will really affect this airline industry.
Very interesting. Dalia, what about Egypt Air? What has helped to remain, you know, to help make you remain afloat?
Yeah. Actually, Egypt Air have, we are under a leadership, currently, we are under a leadership of our CEO, Pilot Ahmed Adel, who is he has been for with Egypt Air for a very long time. He knows everything in the company, commercial, and he's very well educated, and he used to be a pilot. So he's now we are under the process of restructuring all Egypt Air.
Did he used to be a pilot for Egypt Air or for the Egypt Air Force?
No, for Egypt Air. No, he's one of Egypt Air employees since long time ago, he succeeded in moving Egypt Air from the current the past few years we had difficult times after the revolution and then it started to pick up again under his leadership and the minister of Yunus El Masri. Of course, we had a plan how to revamp Egypt Air again and how to reach the top airlines to be in the top again, and actually by using our employees, our they are very well trained, they are experts, and we are restructuring the whole company now to fulfill the return on investment of Egypt Air and to keep up with the international standard in every scheme and of course customer satisfaction is one of our main aims now. So That's a success story of Egypt Air, that all Egypt Air employees are dedicated to Egypt Air. As you say, exactly, when you drink the water from the Nile, you will come again. If you are in Egypt, in Egypt Air staff, you will know what I'm saying.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, time happens not to be our best ally. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment. So please don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
On Our Voices, we're talking about the news and issues you're talking about,
sharing stories of development and growth across Africa,
around the world, and in our lives.
Topics that inform, empower,
and change the rules.
It's time for Our Voices
with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
It's time for Our Voices.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and we appreciate all of the audience feedback. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook. You can watch our show there and leave a comment. Now let's look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, thousands of men, women, and children are forced to flee to escape violence and persecution. June 20th marks World Refugee Day. It commemorates their strength and attempts to engage the international community in helping them. Global refugee awareness on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Today we are discussing the future of Africa's aviation industry. Our guests are Nigusu Worku, Regional Director of Sales and Services in the United States for Ethiopian Airlines, Dalia Erumalage, General Manager of Egypt Air Airlines, and Abdul Rashid Abubakar, publisher of Diaspora Today magazine. I have to say once again that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you again, Abdul. Abdul, you come from Nigeria.
Yes.
Nigeria is the most populous nation on the African continent.
Yes.
Nigeria used to have a very big Nigerian Airlines.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, what you said happened to other airlines, you know, on the continent of Africa, disappeared. So, because the government, you know, like I said earlier, have not seen the aviation industry as a strategic asset.
Yeah.
Because government needs to, the government of Nigeria recently relaunched the Nigeria Air to bring back the glorious memory of Nigeria Airline. And the government continue to inform the public on the process of bringing, you know, the glory of Nigeria Air back. Mm-hmm. And I think, in my opinion, the best way to approach this to be more successful is to adopt liberalization, because that is the coup that the European use to capture the market. And what is interesting is that it's not only going to help the economy, but it's going to boost the workforce on the continent of Africa.
But can I add something? Liberalization, complete liberalization is not a solution. Because it could, yes, it could add to the economy, but it could harm the economy too. So liberalization has to be in a certain way that makes the African carriers, it's not a general liberalization. It has to be a liberalization, studied liberalization.
But so, what about the issue of governance that Negusu raised earlier? Is it possible that, in fact, you can operate a viable airline unless you have a government that practices good governance?
Can't understand your question again.
Maybe, you are right. It's a key. It's a key to have a sound, ethical corporate governance in airlines, for that matter, in any industry, because competition is so tough, as you know, these days.
Right.
So no support, no governance means no industry, no success.
And the issue of, for example, corruption, abuse of power. Some of these national airlines are treated as personal institutions, really, by some senior government officials in some countries.
I can't recall in which countries can it can be like this. I mean, it's actually at the benefit of the country and the carriers.
Yes.
Because if the carrier is not a profitable one, there will not be a flag carrier, as happened with the Nigerian Air. So it has to be balanced between the interest of the state or the country and the benefit of the airline to manage to keep it up. Because if you, for example, you are speaking about, operating routes, it's not profitable. For example, this is what you mean?
What about, for example, senior government officials getting free tickets for their families, their friends?
I don't think we have things like that.
I read about that, for example, with regards to the first Nigerian airlines.
Well, some airlines have, in the past, abused the opportunity. Like you rightly said, the top government official abused the opportunity that the industry, present to them. And I think moving forward, right now, as of today, only 23 African countries signed the single African air transport market,
right,
which will help boost the connectivity and open air sky, of the continent.
Yeah.
So the African Union needs to move aggressively the way it did with the African Continental Free Trade Agreement.
Right.
Yes.
Because as of today, 49 countries ratified, they have not only signed, they have ratified the implementation of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement.
Yes.
So the same need to happen with the
aviation
industry in order to move it to the next level. For example, we launched a very interesting project with the Ethiopian airline, Explore Africa, which is to showcase what Africa has to offer in business and tourism. And what we're focusing on is to bring, to show the world how Africa has changed. Because Africa has moved away from African rising. Africa today has positioned itself to take over, the ownership, not only of the story that is coming up from Africa, but also the economy of Africa.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, Dalia, do you have a method, for example, that keeps you in touch with your clients to find out how they feel, for example, about your services?
Yes, we have a system that we contact the passenger to see that the satisfaction, and we have a department following up all the social medias and reacting with the passenger, and we have a customer service department, and we have passenger. We reach passenger everywhere, actually, and they can reach us everywhere. And we are. This is our aim: is customer satisfaction.
And what is the situation so far?
It's better.
How do people feel?
It's better. They are feeling. They are feeling that the improvement in the service, in the in-flight, the newly introduced aircrafts, and yes, they can feel it.
Do they feel, for example, that your services are better today than they were 5 years or 10 years ago?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What about you, Negusu?
Yeah, we have been here in the States for 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. 20 years.
Yeah, succeeding, growing. Our numbers are phenomenal. Every year, you know, we have been serving Washington, D.C. for the last 20 years.
You used to basically come out of Washington, D.C., but now you come from several other
Definitely.
Cities.
We really worked so much on Washington Dallas Airport for the last 20 years.
Right.
You know, to enhance customer service, really understand the needs of U.S. market.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say now we have mastered it. So we basically learn every day, but we have added New York.
New York.
In fact, both airports, Newark and JFK.
Uh-huh. We
also fly from Chicago.
From Chicago.
And we are also planning to launch Houston.
What about Los Angeles?
We just moved Los Angeles operation into Houston. But we are growing, so we really monitor customer feedbacks, which is really important.
How does it look like?
In our industry. The industry has standards to measure customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
One is overall customer satisfaction, which you measure like out of 100 where you are. So there is an industry benchmark.
Mm-hmm.
We are way above the industry average in terms of baggage regularity, you know, how many baggages were mishandled.
Lost.
You know, there is an industry number,
mm-hmm.
which Department of Transportation also publishes to the public. We are way above that. And our on-time performance, these are the three measurements, and we are really following up these standards, performance at the CEO level. The customer service has direct attention of our senior management, so we are really progressing well. That's why we are Skytrax, 4-star airlines. We also joined Star Alliance. We are best airlines of the African for the last 3-4 years in a row. I would say these really are proofs that we are really taking customer service seriously.
Now, talking about customer service, you recently, of course, had a very unfortunate, you know, accident in Addis Ababa. How is the confidence level of your clients so far?
Our numbers are growing.
Really?
No, really, any passenger. We are really monitoring our passengers' number on a monthly basis,
mm-hmm.
be it from here to the States, be it from Africa or hub, where we fly to, you know, over 55 destinations in Africa,
mm-hmm.
almost everywhere in Africa. In fact, it's growing. And in fact, I call upon all U.S. Business people, tourists, really to take Africa seriously for tourism, for trade, investment. Like Abdul said before, Africa is no more a continent of diseases and problems. I tell you. Africa has lots of opportunities for trade, investment, tourism. Where else American companies should invest?
Yeah.
It's in Africa. They can make fortunes, you know, in Africa while helping Africans in job creation and GDP and whatsoever. This is my message.
Now, talking about that, let's see a little bit further. Let's talk about the vision thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the vision for Ethiopian Airlines?
We are now 73 years old airlines.
73.
Years young airlines.
73,
in fact,
young.
We would say 73 years young
yeah.
airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 years ago, we were celebrating our 16th, and our senior management then really analyzed how far we have gone We had gone over the first 60 years, and they came up with a longer term vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They called it Vision 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 2004 they started working on it. So we achieved, in fact, by 2009, the targets set for 2010. It was really a breakthrough, a long-term vision. And then in 2010, again, we came up with, hey, aviation needs long-term planning. So we should have a vision 2025. Mm-hmm. So we came up in 2010 with what we call Vision 2025,
mm-hmm.
by which we put standards, like to fly. Imagine, it was in 2010, we said by 2025 we would fly to 120 destinations, we would have around 120 aircraft, whatever. But just half, we are halfway now, but we have achieved most of the figures. We had a target of revenue to be a 10 billion
mm-hmm.
USD revenue and so many targets,
mm-hmm.
but we are achieving those targets well ahead of time. And in fact, we are considering to revise the Vision 2025, say Vision 2030, because we are catching up.
How well do you cover the African continent? Can catch an Ethiopian airline to go to almost any capital on the continent?
Every point sub-Saharan Africa, every 55 cities in sub-Saharan African. We fly to 3-4 points in Nigeria, to South Africa, Kenya. Sub-Saharan Africa, anybody can just check by flying tomorrow or a day after. From DC, he or she will arrive in Addis next day morning,
mm-hmm.
and then in 2-3 hours connection time, they can connect to any African, sub-Saharan African city in 2-3 hours time. That's how we have built our network. That's
what about North Africa?
Northern part of Africa, we are not flying, but we are considering that also.
I see. When you look at your vision, could you tell us whether you could put your fingers on something like you would characterize as perhaps the single most regrettable decision that Ethiopian Airlines has yet made?
I would say for sure none.
Really?
None at area level, like, for example, US. None at corporate level. In fact, if you make a serious decision in aviation industry, you will be history.
Mm.
So, we really have a careful, I would say conservative, experienced leadership. They really take time to decide. They really study, analyze issues. Take for our CEO. He has been there for 34 years. So he started all the way from the first entry level job to the CEO level, with European class standard education.
Mm.
And if you take senior management also, like, very young, but 30 years experience in aviation.
Mm.
So this is really a very good asset which we capitalize on. So we don't have any regrettable decision at corporate level or at US area level. Whatever.
What about the feedback that you get from your customers?
Great. As I told you, we measure there are industry standards, which is customer satisfaction, baggage regularity, on-time performance.
Mm.
These are the three standards, major standards of customer service in aviation industry, airline industry.
In the process of doing this show, I was able to talk to some people who have at one time or another gone on Ethiopian Airlines. They say that it is a very good airline. It has a beautiful, airport, Bole International Airport. But that when it comes to the issue of waiting for connections at Bole International Airport, that the conditions are very unsatisfactory?
Yeah, as I told you, we have been growing so much in the last 7 years, like sevenfolds. Last 7 years, airline has grown sevenfolds. Very phenomenal in this industry. So we have noted such challenges. That's why we have launched a project to enhance, renovate, upgrade the Addis Ababa hub terminal. You know, we have expanded the capacity, the terminals. So it's addressed already, and we have addressed it, and there won't be any issue now.
To make the passengers feel that they are in an environmentally friendly
airport. Exactly.
Very good. Yeah. What about Dalia?
Yes.
Let's talk also about the vision thing for Egypt Air. What is the vision for Egypt Air?
Egypt Air's vision is very clearly established since a long time ago, and also we have a standard, international standard regarding everything, and we have a time frame for every plan, for fleet enhancement and adding to fleets and renovating all the fleets. It's in process. It will end by 2020. To renew the fleet and to add to it, we have a strategic plan to restructure the subsidiary companies to make them all profitable, to add to the revenue of Egypt Air. Of course, target revenue plus service is a very important thing to have a stability in the service, to have a stability on time, baggage, and actually we are usually doing the high standard, and we use qualified companies to supervise or to handle the restructuring to its best level to make Egypt Air in the top as usual. So we are stable in the market. We are very strong, and we will keep being strong, and we will improve. And we are about to have the four Skytrax, the fourth carrier level in 2020. We are enhancing our catering, our service, we are training employees steadily, and we have a vision to, by 2020, to have the, as I told you, to renew the whole aircraft, because our fleet range is 7 to 8 years.
7 to 8 years.
Yes, and then we renovate it, and also cargo is one of the main targets now. With Egypt Air, we are starting to have an all cargo flights to many countries in Africa, because Africa is still a virgin. I mean, it's a virgin market, and there is a lot to be for trade and passenger transportation, and there is a lot to be done. And I think we can cover it as an African countries and African carriers. We have to cover it instead of any other foreign carriers. So we have to make schedule coordination, and so we are moving steadily. And to the, our leadership knows what they are doing. We are following them. We are well aware of what is going on. We are in this. We are started to be profitable again, because the past few years was difficult. So Egypt Air is steady, sustainable, and to the top, always.
Let me ask you the same question that I asked your colleague Negusu, and this is, at least in your particular case, being the pioneering airline on the African continent since 1932, what would you say has been, at least so far, the single most regrettable decision by Egypt Air?
The single regrettable decision by Egypt Air, I don't think we did something to regret about.
Really?
I mean, we are proud that we decided to join the Star Alliance, and we did. We are proud that we are the first African carrier, and we are. And I don't think every decision is made, it is studied carefully. And it takes its time to make sure. You cannot risk decisions in an airline. It's too sensitive. You have to think thoroughly before you decide, or else the result might be harmful.
I used to be a paratrooper, jumping out of aircraft when I was a young man, and our instructor always used to say the first mistake is the last mistake as a paratrooper.
Nobody doesn't do mistakes, but I mean, nothing can harmly you regret. I mean, it's we are studying every move before we do it. That's why we are steady and we are moving forward and we know where we are going, and it's clearly appearing.
Very interesting. You talked or touched about the importance of Star Alliance membership.
Yeah.
Both Egypt Air and Ethiopian Airlines are members of this prestigious club.
Yeah.
What exactly is Star Alliance and how important is it?
Star Alliance is the first, it's the biggest alliance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the top alliances for 3 years now. It's the first alliance for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
The privilege of being a Star Alliance member that they have certain rules that you have to follow, and these rules are set down to make it's a win-win situation. The carrier can have its own decisions, but we have to have, if you have a destination to go, you have to prefer your alliance airline.
And you have win-win situation.
Yes,
what exactly do you mean when you say win-win situation? Because it seems to me that anytime someone wins, someone else has to lose.
No.
Not really.
Okay.
The only thing that it keeps the operation successful is if it's a win-win situation. If it's not balanced, it will not continue.
It will not.
No.
Yeah.
Who are your allies, for example, in the United States, in the Star Alliance?
United Airlines.
United Airlines.
Star Alliance.
What about Europe?
We have Lufthansa, the Star Alliance, South African airline. In Europe, it's Lufthansa, Austrian, Swiss, SAS. There is a lot of African, European airlines in this alliance. And actually, it's from Asia, from Japan, from all over the continents. So you can connect with your partners to anywhere in the world.
Really?
This is the best thing in the alliance, yes.
Just to tell the benefits to customers, passengers.
Yes.
I believe is very interesting. For example, the benefit as an airline.
Mm-hmm.
We fly, say, for example, to Chicago.
Yes.
Okay, why Chicago? Because this is the main hub for United.
Right.
So United collects passengers from all over USA,
mm-hmm.
feeds us at Chicago. We fly these passengers to Africa and beyond. Likewise, we collect passengers from Africa and feed United at Chicago. So this is a win-win.
Very
but for passengers, imagine United members can, you know, fly on Ethiopian Airlines using their mileage.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. And on that note, our distinguished guests are Negusu Worku, Daria El-Marage, and Abdul Rashid Abubakar, publisher, Diaspora Today magazine. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, the African airline industry. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.